Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a man with severe mental health difficulties was held in a Donegal Garda station for 12 hours last week because no GPs were available. Issues with the council's online portal have been resolved and it will be back online within days. That's according to the chairperson of Donegal County Council's Defective Block Committee. Heated exchanges took place in the Dáil this afternoon following Deputy Piers Doherty calling for better protection systems to be put in place to protect scam victims. And a Derry woman who travelled from England to Belfast says both the trains and buses shouldn't go on strike at the same time. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Oisin Kelly will also be live with all the latest in sport, that coming up around 5:15. First in news. A man with severe mental health difficulties was held at a Donegal Garda station for 12 hours last week because no GPs were available to fulfil the necessary paperwork to seek his appropriate care. Deputy Thomas Pringle told the Dáil about the issue this afternoon. He's called it an injustice to both the person involved and the Gardaí who had to act. Deputy Pringle addressed the House, saying Garda resources are already stretched thin in rural Donegal.
Last week, a Garda station in Donegal was forced to hold a man with severe mental health issues for 12 hours as there were no GPs available to assess him and sign the necessary forms to allow him to be admitted to hospital. This was not only unfair to the man being held, but also to the Gardaí who are unable to do anything else while this man was in their care. They are forced to ring 12 different GPs, but none were available. Garda resources are very limited in rural communities, and so Gardaí are not in a position to be tied up for a whole day trying to find a GP, and it's completely unacceptable. I don't understand why there isn't a system in place ensuring GPs are contracted to the Gardaí to ensure that the service is provided when it is necessary. So, Taoiseach, will you ensure that instances like this cannot happen again? And will you ensure that GPs are actually contracted so that they actually turn up and no person in need of a GP to sign forms will be held for 12 hours in the Garda station?
The Minister for Health, Stephen Donnelly, said in his response that he'll collaborate with Minister McEntee to see the proper provisions put in place.
Deputy, thanks for raising the issue. It is undoubtedly the case that the guards need to be able to access expert medical help if they are dealing with somebody who has severe mental health issues. You'll be aware we're in the middle of a very, very significant investment in primary care in Donegal, including multiple primary care centres and enhanced community care teams right across the county. And in fact, I'm in the county shortly to open the latest facility. But specifically to the question you raised, I'll ask for contact between my officials and Minister McEntee's officials to make sure that the guards have all the healthcare supports that they need.
Issues with the council's online portal have been resolved and it will be back online within days. That's according to the chairperson of Donegal County Council's Defective Block Committee, Councillor Martin McDermott. He was responding to comments from Milford and District Resource Centre Manager Declan Meehan, who called out the council after reports people could not upload their invoices. Mr Meehan, who plans to contest the forthcoming local elections, questioned whether builders and others would engage with the scheme in terms of staged payments if there be hold-ups on a bureaucratic level.
The administration of the so-called enhanced redress scheme seems to be broken at county council level. A number of homeowners made contact with me to highlight the issue. Basically, since before Christmas, no invoices have been paid, which means that homeowners are left at stalled stages within the construction projects that they're all overseeing for their own homes. And this obviously has led to difficulties then with contractors who are working on those home rebuilds. The reality is that contractors will be reluctant to engage with the scheme if the County Council can't get its house in order and fix this problem with regards to processing the staged payments. The Minister also was at pains to stress that the staged payments was an enhanced benefit of this enhanced scheme, and yet we see that it is currently not functioning at County Council level.
Councillor Martin McDermott told Highland Radio News this morning that the issues have been resolved.
There has been an issue with the system, particularly for uploading invoices and for ancillary grants. The new system and the new portal is something that had to be rewrote when the new scheme came in. That was in place a number of weeks back, but the system actually didn't work. There was an issue with it. It had to go back to IT to be relooked at. Now the system is back with the council ready to go, and it will, what I'm being told, and I've had a number of meetings in this door because this is a very important issue, because people really, really need to be sure that when builders are on site and they put in invoices and that they're able to put in invoices, that they get their money in a timely manner. It's the most important part of the scheme. But I have been told that within the next couple of days that system will be up and running, and that should make life a lot easier for both the homeowner and the professional that is doing looking after the job to get the money back for the builders and the professionals.
Heated exchanges took place in the Dáil this afternoon following Deputy Piers Doherty calling for better protection systems to be put in place to protect scam victims. The Donegal deputy again stated the need for a data sharing system to be instated between the banks and the Gardaí in a bid to tackle fraudsters. However, frustrations arose when the Minister for Finance, Michael McGrath, responded to Deputy Doherty when he had in fact addressed the Minister for Justice.
You still haven't allowed the banks to have a shared fraud database to tackle fraudsters and protect consumers. The banks have been demanding that you allow this so that they can share live information with the Gardaí in relation to fraud. It is bonkers that we don't have that and legislation hasn't come from the Department of Justice in relation to that. And despite the fact that other jurisdictions have taken action to sanction online platforms who host fraudulent content and scams, there's been no action here whatsoever. So can I ask you, why are the government not taking any action on any of these matters that have been raising for a year, despite an explosion of scams and people being stolen millions of euros from each year?
Last year, Gordon, just to thank Deputy Doherty for raising the issue, and he has put in a number of PQs on this issue, and we have discussed it before, just to reassure him that there is work on the way. My department is working very closely with the Central Bank, with the Department of Justice. There is a legislation emerging at an EU level as well in terms of Payment Services Directive number 3. There will be enhanced authentication requirements, but I'll set out in writing to the Deputy a comprehensive reply on the issue.
A Derry woman who travelled from England to Belfast says both the trains and buses shouldn't go on strike at the same time. It's the sixth time since December that buses, trains and the metro are out of service as TransLink workers take to the picket line. With Stormont potentially being restored, it's hoped that money for pay rises will be delivered soon. Siobhan said she only discovered she'd have no way to Derry after arriving into Belfast.
I'm fuming, so especially when you travelled all night and been unaware. It was only when I got on the taxi, they told me. They says, you know, there's no buses. I went, I said, what do you mean there's no buses? What about the train? I'll get the train. This is the trains are on strike too. Why do the two need to strike together? Sure, that's ridiculous. They know people have to get from A to B.
The media minister says she's shocked at the latest revelations about redundancies at RTE, saying it reveals a dysfunctional and appalling culture. A report found 10 departure under the voluntary exit programmes didn't satisfy the necessary requirements. Sinn Féin says the only people being held to account are those not paying their TV licences. Minister Catherine Martin says the broadcaster still has an important role to play.
Points to a culture of the past where there was just little or no, or poor governance, little or no oversight, a disrespect for an inequality in how the staff were treated. But what we need to remember at all times, though, at the same time, not to lose sight of the value of public service media, and especially in this day and age.
Alcohol Forum Ireland is holding a briefing event in Letterkenny tomorrow morning for Donegal politicians and the public in relation to the proposed sale of alcohol bill. The bill seeks to extend trading hours, the number of drink outlets and the removal of limits on the number of on licences. These, according to CEO of Alcohol Forum Ireland, will increase the posed risk to public health and the rights of children. Paula Leonard says that family-safe places such as cinemas will also be put at risk.
Pubs definitely have a place as part of the economy. We should have nighttime offerings. We don't need to have a nighttime offering that is overly dependent on the sale of alcohol, the consumption of alcohol and drunkenness. What we're seeing in this new piece of legislation is that, in fact, theatres, cinemas, places that would have been safe spaces for children and families. They're now talking about extending alcohol licences to those premises and making it much easier for people to get a licence to sell alcohol. So, you know, alcohol sale is creeping into more and more spaces and places in this country. And that's not something that we think is a really good idea or a safe idea for families and for children.
The real cost of the sale of alcohol bill information event is taking place in the Letterkenny Public Services Centre tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Hundreds of farmers are expected to drive through cities, towns and villages across the country this evening as protests continue across Europe. It'll include a gathering outside Letterkenny. The IFA has confirmed that farmers will assemble with tractors at the Manor Cunningham roundabout shortly before 7 p.m. this evening. They will then travel on the inside lane to Letterkenny and return. They have stressed there is no intention to block any traffic or cause any undue delays. IFA President Francie Gorman says that farmers want meaningful discussions about the future of the sector.
We need our policymakers, both at EU level and the government level, at department level, to sit down with us. It's very, very easy to devise a policy on a laptop that will work on the laptop. But that won't work when you're sitting in your tractor at home or you're sitting in your milk and parlour at home. There's a huge level of frustration among farmers out there too around the whole environmental question and how we're being pilloried.
And there'll be more on this issue coming up shortly on the latest instalment of Farming News and Views with Chris Ashmore. The time is approaching 12 minutes past 5. We'll go to a short break and Oisin Kelly will be back with all the latest in sport. It's 5:15. Oisin Kelly has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Donna Marie. We start with football. Liverpool have rejected a £15 million bid from Nottingham Forest for Republic of Ireland goalkeeper Kevin Kelleher. The Premier League leaders reportedly value the Corkman in excess of £20 million. Forest have opted instead for Strasbourg's Metz Sales. Up in Scotland, Celtic are to acquire one Republic of Ireland international on transfer deadline day while sending another out on loan. Adam Ida is set for a loan move to the Scottish club from Norwich City, while Mikey Johnston appears to be heading for the Championship on loan to West Brom. Meanwhile, Shamrock Rovers say they've secured a significant upfront fee from Como in Italy for 17-year-old midfielder Naz Rajai. Also heading to the Italian country is Senan Mullen. The 18-year-old midfielder has swapped Dundalk for Torino. Morgan Rogers has completed a move from Middlesbrough to Aston Villa. And here at home, Dundalk have signed Northern Ireland under 21 striker Kieran McGuckin on loan from Rotherham until the summer. On the pitch tonight, Manchester United are in action as they take on Wolves in the Premier League. England international Marcus Rashford missed the FA Cup one at Newport last weekend and reportedly called in sick following a night out in Belfast, but he could be back in the side tonight with the manager Erik ten Hag hoping that the forwards' form is now beginning to become a special partnership in attack.
Last two Premier League games, 2 goals, 2 assists, and you see there's developing a bond, strong bond between Rasmus Højlund and Marcus Rashford, and yeah, we want to continue the process.
Kickoff is at 8:15. At 7:30, West Ham is up against Bournemouth at the London Stadium. Well, youngster Conor Bradley inspired Liverpool to a 4-1 win over Chelsea last night as they regained a 5-point cushion at the top of the table. The 20-year-old Northern Ireland international from Ahearn in County Tyrone scored his first goal for the Reds and also got 2 assists. Boss Jurgen Klopp says injury had set Bradley back after a hugely impressive pre-season.
These kind of issues will only young people have. But thank God then time can sort it. In our age, it will not get better, but in that age group it gets better. So and since he's back, it's a joy to watch him. And it's all credit to the academy.
There appears to be no late injury scares for Andy Farrell ahead of tomorrow's Rugby Six Nations opener with France. All 23 members of the Ireland matchday squad trained today at Marseille's Stade Velodrome. Tomorrow night will be Peter O'Mahony's first game as permanent Ireland captain, and it's a responsibility he feels he can carry.
Not only is it an honour, but it's a huge responsibility, and I think we all feel that. It doesn't matter whether you're captain or whether you're a travel reserve, you feel, you know, the responsibility to deliver in the jersey, and that goes for us all.
Former Formula One world champion Damon Hill does not think Lewis Hamilton would be joining Ferrari if he thought he could win an eighth title with Mercedes. The shock moves yet to be confirmed, but staff at Mercedes' Brackley base have been told he's going to the Italian giants from the 2025 season. Hill says Hamilton may have lost faith in Mercedes delivering him a winning car.
He's got to the point where he's probably heard the music coming out of Mercedes maybe a few too many seasons and started to think, well, I need to invigorate my final years in Formula One. What better way to do it than to drive for Ferrari? At least I've got a chance. If it goes wrong, at least I tried.
In hockey, Convoy's Luke Wetherill has been selected on the Ireland men's side for this month's PIH Pro League in India. It's the first time Ireland will play at the tournament, which will consist of the top eight ranked nations. Ireland will play the world number one side, the Netherlands, India, Australia and Spain, with the first game on February the 10th. Wetherill currently plays his club hockey with Banbridge. In golf, Rory McIlroy and Seamus Power are both in the field for the Pebble Beach Pro-Am on the US PGA Tour. McIlroy has just started, while Power has a 5:45 tee time. And finally, just looking ahead to the score later this evening, we will preview the second leg of the Oscar Trainer Trophy clash between the Donegal and the Inishowen Leagues. We'll hear from the managers, John Francis Dugan and Dermot O'Brien. There's a preview of this weekend's Galway International Rally with Killian Duffy off On the Pace Note. Alec McDonald talks Six Nations rugby, and we go to Cavan with Dermot McCabe ahead of Sunday's clash with Donegal in the Alliance Football League. It's all on the score tonight after the 7 o'clock news. Donna Murray.
Thanks, Oshin. Up next is the latest farming news and views with Chris Ashmore.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, we'll hear about the Our Farming Future 2024 event in Letterkenny next Wednesday, which will also see the naming of the winners of the Donegal Silage Awards. But first, a series of protests are being arranged around the country by the Irish Farmers Association to show solidarity with frustrated farmers in other EU countries, where there have been a series of protests recently. I've been speaking with Frank McLean, the Vice Chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA, to find out more about a peaceful tractor cavalcade that is taking place in the county this evening.
Well, what's happening, Chris, is that we're meeting up at around 7 p.m. near the Manor Cunningham roundabout on the hard shoulder of the dual carriageway heading towards Letterkenny. We're having a peaceful cavalcade, if you like, and towards Letterkenny and back out again. We will stay at the hard shoulder of the dual carriageway. We won't be obstructing traffic or people going about their business, because that's certainly not the intention.
So the intention is to highlight issues that you, like your colleagues across Europe, are facing. So what in particular is really sparking off this wave of protests across many countries?
Well, I think initially the protest in Germany was the fact that the German government decided to do away with the rebate on agricultural diesel and leave it the same price as the commercial white diesel. And then at the protests then and France and Belgium, where those farmers there would have a lot of frustration, as a lot of farmers here, of the direction of EU policy, the whole nitrates thing, the general policy schemes, brought out cumbersome schemes to supposedly compensate farmers for reduced payments here whenever they took... The CAP took that direction away from paying farmers for production. They brought out this acre scheme, very, very cumbersome scheme. The planners are under severe pressure to try to meet deadlines for to get applications done and processed. And then, of course, the payments were to come out in December, and they're still not out. And the plan is for them to be out in February, which I sincerely hope they do, because those farmers now are waiting over 2 months for their payments.
Yeah, and fair to say there would be a feeling amongst many farmers that there's a real disconnect between the policy makers and the bureaucrats and farmers themselves, who are essentially finding it difficult to do what they do best, and that is to farm.
Absolutely, Chris, that's it. And you know, I think I just don't know if the majority of our politicians grasp how frustrated farmers are at the moment about this. You know, I know they think there's a bit of a dissatisfaction about it, but there's, I think there's a lot more than what they realise, you know.
So maybe, as this is part of a European-wide series of protests, this may bring matters to a head.
Well, look, as I say, this, what we're doing, what the AFA are doing today across the country, and what we'll be doing tonight, is basically just in support of those other protests that have taken place already. But, I mean, I can see if we don't get a bit of recognition about this and something done, you know, I can see it maybe escalating into something else. Like, I mean, as I say, this tonight is only just a very peaceful cavalcade, just to highlight this point.
And that was Frank McLean, the Vice Chair of the County Donegal Executive of the IFA. Next Wednesday in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny, a major event is being hosted by Arrivo with a number of guest speakers lined up. And there will also be around 20 trade stands with Chagas representatives in attendance as well. The night will also see the winners of the Donegal Silage Awards being announced. Farm commercial specialist with Arrivo, Jonathan Smith, has been telling me more.
I suppose I'm pleased with the response, Chris. This year's probably been slightly better for silage samples because there's been more quality. There's more interest in it and more people put samples in. It's closed on the 19th, but we've sampled around 450 samples, and that's quite a good response from it, you know.
So there's a first and second prize to the winners from each category, and five categories in total?
Yeah, it's five categories in total: dairy, beef, sheep, round veal, and a category for new entrants to dairy farming. I want to give everybody a chance to take part in it, and everybody a chance, if they've made good studies, to enter it into a category where they'll be sort of judged against their peers of that. Maybe some of the dairy farmers that's been making studies for a number of years are very good at it, and they're likely to be up at the top every year. So we want to give everybody a chance, and that's the idea behind the five categories.
Yeah, and the new entrant to qualify for that?
We changed it slightly a few years ago there. So it's anybody that started dairy farming in 21, 22, 23, or is looking to start in 2024.
So we're going to hear the winners on Wednesday night?
We'll hear the winners on Wednesday night. I think we have the winners picked at this stage. Andrew Wright was the TikToker. He was out with me today, and he was judging the competition. So all will be revealed on Wednesday night.
Also on Wednesday night, we have a number of high-profile speakers, so let's just look and see what's coming up. Not in any particular order, but Finbar O'Regan from the Department of Agriculture, he's going to give an overview of the National Fertiliser Database.
Yeah, he is indeed. The Fertiliser Database is a new thing for 2024, and the Department of Agriculture has set it up. He's one of the head men. I want him to come and just give us some clarity on what we have to do this year to comply with the regulations. He's just the messenger. It's a European thing, and we as Ireland have to comply with it now. So just to get the right information out to farmers on the night, you know.
Adam Woods is no stranger. He's from the Irish Farmers Journal, and he's going to give an outlook for beef markets and live exports, and always a man well worth listening to.
Yeah, definitely, and that's why he's been asked along. I think beef's a very important sector for us as well as a business, and we want to see how that industry's doing, and we hope it's going to continue to do better than it has been recently.
You've already mentioned Andrew Wright, so tell us a little bit more about him. He's on social media a lot, and what's he going to be talking about?
Well, he's guest judge, really, for the competition, and asked him if he would just speak for 10 or 15 minutes at the end, then just, you know, so we can hear what it's like. He's a dairy farmer himself. He's obviously a bit famous from TikTok and that. Just what making good silage means to his business and how he goes about it. And that's the idea for bringing him along, really.
Yeah. And we'll also hear from Connor Brown. What's he going to be talking about?
Well, ICBF, it's just changes in the Beef Eurostar indexes and the new Dairy Calf to Beef Index. There's a lot of confusion around that. So wanted somebody from ICBF come, they just give us some more clarity on it and what it looks like going forward for both the beef and dairy sector to what all the indexes mean and what farmers should be looking for.
So it's taking place in the Mount Errigal Hotel in Letterkenny next Wednesday from 8 o'clock. And I take it you can land on the night? You don't have to pre-register or anything?
No, you don't have to pre-register. And the event starts at 8. If you're there at 7.30, you're more than welcome. There'll be plenty of trade stands. There's about 20 trade stands coming on the evening. And they're all there for people to get information. They're all people that supply us with certain products or services. Chagas will be there on the night. Also, anybody that's interested in getting into dairy farming, our farm services team will be there as well.
Yeah, and great to have it all in the one place on the one night.
Yeah, actually, the Mount Errigal Hotel is a fantastic place for it because it's a big room, plenty of room for a large number of people and for all the trade stands, you know.
And, of course, there's the customary refreshments afterwards and a chance for people to have a chat.
Yeah, we'll not send anybody hungry afterwards. There'll be refreshments afterwards.
And that was Jonathan Smith, Farm Commercial Specialist with Arrivo. Finally, Agriculture Minister Charlie McConnell-Logue has announced further flexibility for participants in the Suckler Carbon Efficiency Programme, known as SCEP, who may be impacted by the Irish Cattle Breeding Federation evaluation changes, which came into effect on the 28th of November. Having listened to feedback from those affected, Minister McConnell-Logue says the flexibility will provide assurance to SCEP participants that they will not be negatively impacted. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.
Thanks for that, Chris. Now look into weather. Patches of light rain, drizzle and mist tonight. Overnight temperatures unchanged at 10 or 11 degrees with moderate to fresh and gusty southwest winds strong at times. To conclude this evening's news, a man with severe mental health difficulties was held at a Donegal Garda station for 12 hours last week because no GPs were available. Issues with the council's online portal have been resolved and it'll be back online within days, according to the chairperson of Donegal County Council's defective block committee. Heated exchanges took place in the Dáil this afternoon following Deputy Piers Doherty calling for better protection systems to be put in place to protect scam victims. And a dairy woman who travelled overnight from England to Belfast says both the trains and buses shouldn't go on strike at the same time. That's all for now. Back again at 6 o'clock. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, February 1st. The death has taken place of Gary Wallace, 444 Grove Cottages, Muff. Gary's remains will be reposing at his late family's residence, 444 Grove Cottages, Muff, from 5:30 this evening. Funeral from there on Saturday at 12:20 for 1 p.m. Requiem Mass in the Sacred Heart Church, Muff. Burial will take place immediately afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Wake House will be private from 10 p.m. until 11 a.m. Gary's Requiem Mass can be streamed live on mcn.live. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to Ward 41, Altna Galvin Hospital, care of the immediate family, or Mr. Kieran Connor of McLafferty Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Niall McGarvey of Ranafast. His remains will repose at his home today and tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. Rosary nightly at 8 o'clock. House private after rosary and on the morning of the funeral to family only. Funeral Mass in St. Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Annagry, on Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on Kieran Worthy Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Jim Kern Faher, Portnabla, Dunfanaghy. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, on Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. The Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. Family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu if desired to the Patient Comfort Fund, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of James Harkin, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Eddie Mullen, 22 Lambton Court, Strabane, reposing at his son Terry Mullen's home, 1 Ballygrove, Strabane. Funeral leaving his son's home on Saturday at 11:50 a.m. for Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Melmount, for 12:30. Interment afterwards in Strabane Cemetery. Donations in lieu of flowers, please, to the Foyle Hospice, care of Quigley Funeral Directors. Family time, please, from 11 p.m. to 11 a.m. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has occurred of Bridget McLaughlin, neighbour, Old Post Office, Linsfort, and 6 Crana View, Cockhill Road, Buncrana. Bridget is reposing at McLaughlin's funeral home, Lower Main Street, Buncrana, today until 7 p.m. Removal this evening at 7:15 to arrive at the Star of the Sea Church, Desert Hegney, for 7:30 for Mass in honour of St Bridget at 8 p.m. Funeral Mass will be celebrated there at 11 a.m. tomorrow, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only. Donations, if desired, to Buncrana Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of any family member. The death has occurred of John McFadden, Ballybowes, Fulcara. Remains reposing at Sweeney Funeral Home, Ballybowes, Fulcara, today until 6:30, with removal to St Finian's Church, Fulcara, to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 11 a.m, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live or Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of James Jim Patrick Gallagher of Fallard Calhame, Letterkenny, and originally from Cor Point, Lettermack Award. Remains reposing overnight at St Eunan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, for 11 a.m. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning, which can be viewed live on churchservices.tv, followed by burial in Kilv Regis Cemetery, Lettermack Award. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, to the Emergency Services, Letterkenny, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. The death has taken place of Madge McMonigal, Nee McFadden, Upper Derry Reel, Fulcara. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass in Holy Cross Church, Dunfanaghy, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Mass can be viewed live on mcn.live. Family time from 10 p.m. tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Letterkenny University Hospital, care of any family member or James Harkin Funeral Director. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.